When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time to take your body care routine to the next level. Introducing Osea's bestseller body care set, the perfect companion for your summer travels. This four-piece kit transforms dry skin to silky, soft, and glowing. It features travel sizes of Osea's best-selling Undaria Algae Body Oil and Body Butter, clinically proven to improve skin elasticity, along with their anti-aging body balm and Salts of the Earth body scrub. And to top it off, it's packed in a vegan leather bag, making it a must-have for all your summer adventures. Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat yourself to glowing, healthy skin this summer with clean, vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Right now, you can get the bestsellers body care set valued at $78 for 33% off. Use code SUMMER to save an additional 10%. That's an additional 10% off at oceamalibu.com, code SUMMER.
Hello and welcome to Friday's episode of the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. I am Craig Fowler, and on this occasion I am joined once again by Mr. Joel Sked. Hello, Joel.
Hello, Craig.
Hello. Now we're back. We're back again with the top 12s. We've moved on now. So we've done goalkeepers, we've done centre-backs, we've done full-backs. Now we're into the midfield. Now, if you are a long-time listener of the show, or even going back as far as last season, then you will know that in the past we've cut up the midfield. We've done it similar to defenders, and that we've done, you know, wider players and central players. However, due to a steady supply of griping from the other guys in the chat, we have decided to change it up this year because they've been asking for a while to change it to kind of like defensive midfielders and central midfielders, so like number eights, if you will, and then the rest would just be down as attacking midfielders. So that will be the next podcast, will be the top 12 attacking midfielders. Joel, this was done with a view to making this easier to do. Was this any easier?
No, but imagine trying to do top 12 central midfielders of the ball. It's somewhat easier because there'd just been like seven Rangers players, maybe two or three Celtic players, and Jackson Irvine and Hakim Madoffin.
Do you know what the problem is? Is it the thinking is that yes, it does make the centre midfielders one a wee bit easier than before, or at least it makes it a lot more kind of representative of the league as a whole. If Celtic had a particularly good season, then that might not have been the case, but in this year it certainly made my list a bit more representative than it might have otherwise been if it was just centre midfielders, because you'd have to have like David Turnbull in there. Even though Christie's not had a good season, he would have to be in there. You know, Joe Rebo would have to be in there for Rangers, Scott Arfield. These are guys that we've not considered for this one. But at the same time, it would then make the wide players one a bit more representative. So now we've just got this one that's difficult, and then we've just got another one that's just equally difficult that will be coming up next week or in 2 weeks' time.
So I take it we're still doing a different wide player to attacking midfielder.
No.
Okay, so they're all joined.
Yeah,
together.
That was what the guys in the group chat wanted.
Okay.
If we split them up, I don't think there'd be quite enough guys who are just out and out wide players. And plus,
that's because there's quite a lot of players, obviously, a lot of teams playing wing backs.
And yeah, and what's Ryan Kent? Is Ryan Kent a winger or is he an attacking midfielder?
That's the one. Even though it was painstaking trying to get this 12 sorted, in the back of my mind I thought, fuck me, what is Ryan Kent? How are we going to decide Ryan Kent? But yeah, that's a problem for next week.
it's a problem for, we'll kick that problem down the line, which is typically what I like to do with any problem or anything that needs sorted in general in life,
yes.
Really.
Right. Easiest way to do it.
Anyway, right. So, right. Get to the number 12. I've put mine in a weird order. I've put mine 1 to 12 for some reason, so I'm having to scroll down here. Right, I've got them here. Right, there's a few. There is three guys that I came very... There was four guys that I came very close to putting on the list. I'm not going to say any of the ones for now, because there's a chance that you've got, I'd say, at least two of them. But there was one more that I'll say that I don't have at the moment, and I don't have either Scott Brown or Ishmael Asoro.
No, neither do I.
I thought I could make a case for Brown, because while he's not had a very good season by his standards, he still had some good games. He still does a lot of things at the Scottish Premiership level very well. The problem is now that he's no longer, at this age, probably no longer a Celtic caliber player, so he looks worse than in the maybe he actually is. And also, I don't think that team was really fitting him at all this season, with the kind of, if we think that Brendan Rodgers kind of revitalised his career, then kind of how everything went stagnant under Lennon, and that kind of brand of football didn't bring the best out of him. And I think you could see this coming even like the year before, where we played quite well last season, but not kind of still far below his best. And at the end of the day, I was going to make a point of maybe he should be in it and maybe be a bit controversial, but then I was like, I mean, we've talked to Brown enough of these top 10s. He must have been in it every single year since we started doing this, which would have been, I don't know, about 2013, something like that.
So I think the easiest way to kind of almost rule out Brown is that he has effectively been a hindrance to Celtic's performance this season. And I don't think you get into a top 12 list when you have been somewhat of a hindrance to your own team.
I wanted to change up just to be not to be boring and to bring a bit more kind of, like I said before, a bit more variance to the list.
And then Sorrow, I never bought into the hype around Sorrow. Looks like a decent enough player. I'd like to see a lot more of him going forward. But I think a lot of the positivity around Sorrow was the fact that he wasn't Scott Brown.
Yeah, I think he could have fitted into Celtic's team a bit more than Brown, because he had a bit more mobility, so he could kind of allow those other guys that are a bit more kind of attack-minded to kind of do their thing, whereas Brown was just getting caught out too many times, because he clearly doesn't have the legs that he used to, which, I mean, fair enough, the guy's 35. Although, while saying, I did say this, I think I said this last, I've said this a few times, Scott Brown, the amount of times he would say, I keep proving everybody wrong, it's like, oh, well, eventually we're going to be right, so I wouldn't be that smug about it.
Yeah.
Time always wins in the end.
And time has won.
Yes. I'll be interested to see what he does at Aberdeen next year. If it was a Derek McInnes Aberdeen, I think he would actually do very well and maybe would get himself back into the top 12. But with Stephen Glass's plans for...
I give until Guy Fawkes night before it's decided that he is essentially a coach.
Okay, that's a good over-under. Anyway, right, let's get to the list. Right, my number 12, I agonised over this for ages. There was a couple of guys that kind of wanted to put in. I'll see if they come crop up later, but in the end, I went for somebody who, and then I decided this on who was playing for the better team, who made a very good impact to his team, and also who was in our list last season who has played well and doesn't deserve to drop out just because the competition has gone up a bit. And so I've got Alex Gogic of Hibs.
He was on my long list. He does not make my short list.
That's fair enough. I think we're going to have a bit more variance in this one than we have in any other previous ones we've done in terms of kind of which players make up our lists.
You're talking about your list. I've got two players here who basically kind of it's a reputation / team they play for has pushed them into and kind of previous has pushed them into the list, whereas they are I could certainly make a case for Gogic being in ahead of him. Gogic, I think he's been fine. I think he's been decent. He's been good enough. But he was I think I wrote down about 22 names, whittled it down to 14 or whittled down to 16. He was in the 16 then, was just ruthless.
Yeah, I've decided to keep him in because it's just the fact that it's mainly the impact thing, the impact that he's made on Hibs. he plays a very specific role for Hibs, and it's one of those ones where you can maybe say if he's asked to do it in a different team, then maybe he doesn't do that role well. But he was asked to do the same role at Hamilton, and he'd done that very well, and he's gone into Hibs, and he's probably taking his play even up a level, arguably. He's very good at interception. He does all the defensive things. That's the thing. He doesn't do much to impact the game further forward. And this is going to be a kind of maybe a running theme through my list, and kind of me maybe being a bit harsh on guys who are just out and out defensive midfielders who don't contribute as much to the attack. Because it's just, if you can do things well defensively and you can do things well going forward, then aren't you just better than somebody who's just an out-and-out defensive midfielder? Although some guys who are just out-and-out defensive midfielders make massive impacts to games, and I think Gogic is that. If you look at the overall play of Hibs midfield and Hibs as a team in general, looking back to last season when you had that midfield that was completely unbalanced, for whatever reason, Paul Heckenbottom thinks that a team doesn't need a defensive midfielder. I certainly don't think he was right about it at Hibs, and Gogic has shown that team was badly missing one last year, and he just does that said the game well. Like I say, intercepts well, gets stuck in, one of the best, kind of most tenacious players in the league, good at winning the ball back, maybe fouls a bit too much, but that's, it could be a little bit rash, but that's probably about it. He has had some poor games, but he's also had some excellent games as well. I think even though he was later sent off, I think we'd have to say that the Scottish Cup quarter-final against Motherwell, up until that moment, he was, you know, if not the best player on the pitch, then certainly one of them.
I think he's grown as the more he's been at Hibs. I think he's become more prominent. I think he's probably come a bit more of a refined, rounded player, because he didn't. I don't think he had a great start. I think again he was fine to start with, but it wasn't a. I don't know there was a massive impact straight away. The one thing I would say is I've got other Hibs players in here, so he was one of those where I was like, I've had to sacrifice someone. Sacrifice Gogic, and this is my thing. It's like the more I think about it, the more I've perhaps sacrificed the wrong player.
No, I've got three Hibs players as well, okay. So I think you can guess who the other two are.
I've got those.
The other two are a wee bit further up. Right, who's your number 12?
My number 12 is Jake Doyle Hayes.
I have him. I have him high. I had him initially massively higher. But I kind of took a second look at the list and calmed myself down a little bit. And now I have him still a few spots higher, to be fair.
So, Jake Doyle Hayes, he's another one. Throughout this season, I've gone through patches watching teams. Like, for example, if Hamilton, I've watched quite a lot of the team that interests me. But depending on how teams are doing, if they're doing really poorly or well, and again, depends who... what we're covering on the podcast, or to the just to the terms of the games, I found myself seemed to watch St Mirren when they weren't doing great, and then I would read and hear about the different players, and Jake Doyle Hayes always seemed to get mentioned in terms of his impact and influence on the team. So he was, the reason he's 12 is because, again, when I've watched St Mirren, he's never really stood out to me. But it's because I've probably gone in to watch St Mirren kind of with a focus on him and seeing and expecting him to do these wonderful things. He's never really reached those wonderful things, but I think the fact that, like, St Mirren fans love him, they were absolutely delighted when... did he sign a new contract? Or if he didn't sign a new contract, they were... Eager for him to be signed up on a longer term. I think he's the type of player that you want in a Scottish midfield, who is capable of running, getting in the road, but he's a decent football player as well.
I'm just reading the Daily Record article here. St Mirren looked to have hit a bump in the road in their bid to tie Jake Doyle Hayes down to a new contract. Looks like his future lies elsewhere. Agent could currently exploring other options. Blow for St Mirren that, because I will soon wax lyrical about Jake Doherty's. That article came out last month. I can't see anything else to say he signed a new deal since then. No, he hasn't. He's still out of contract at the end of the season. If I was a team, especially maybe a team coming up, mm-hmm. I would maybe have a look at him. Mm-hmm. A team that maybe plays in Maroon, maybe.
So I'm looking forward to, because you've probably seen him perform better than me. So I'm looking forward to see what you say. But basically, he came into 12 because of more of what I have, the opinion of people I trust and the opinions of St Mirren fans. Again, the fans who watch them week in, week out are massive and should certainly be taken into account. And that's why he has been pushed in at 12. And he is hopefully someone that stays in Scottish football, because I want to watch more of him. Hopefully see him on Sunday as well.
Right, my number 11 is St Johnson midfielder Liam Craig.
I do have him in my list as well. And I've been swithering. I've got him 11th at the moment. I was going to bump him higher, but yeah, I've got him 11th as well.
So you've got him 11th as well. Yeah. So we're both going Craig, right? So yeah, kind of, it's funny what he's now become, Liam Craig. He's, because we kind of remember him early in his career as kind of an attacking midfielder, often playing on the left. For St Johnstone, moved to Hibs where he's more of a centre midfielder. Didn't work out. Goes back to St Johnstone, it kind of works out, but he's still kind of known for kind of his passing range, kind of being a bit more creative. But as he's gotten older, he's kind of retreated into a more kind of defensive role. I think it's certain to say when he plays, especially when he plays alongside Ali McCann, then he's the one who'll do a bit more sitting, allowing McCann to go forward a bit more. But at the same time, Liam Craig is still excellent, and even in this deeper role, it's setting up shooting opportunities for teammates. I mean, I think some of that will be due to set piece delivery, but then again, I mean, Craig Conway and David Witherspoon still take a lot of set pieces for St Johnstone as well, I think. So it's not like he's taken all of them.
I think the two things that stand out, statistically, I'll come to talk about him, is how I see him. But statistically, is the fact that he's got the fourth most final third entries in the Scottish Premiership. And then the second most interceptions. So there's like just two sides to that game. And he's not a defensive midfielder in the natural sense who's going to charge at the tackles, charge around the pitch. It's a lot more about basically game intelligence. He reads the game well. He allows St Johnstone to build. So that's him, like, out of possession. When he's not got the ball, it allows him to build. When St Johnstone have the ball, but he's not on it, he allows them to build because he'll sit and he'll give platform for others, like, for example, David Witherspoon, to get on the ball in the areas he likes to get on. But then he also helps them build, like I said, fourth most final third entries. He gets the ball and he is positive with it. He's relatively accurate with it as well. So he does a bit of... sorry, I just caught a tail wagging in the camera there.
Sorry. My cat Nacho, who's just been sleeping the entire day, as soon as I start the podcast, he's like, "Yo, I want attention now."
Yep. But if there's someone who deserves attention, is Liam Craig, because he has had a very, very good season, and understated, because there's a lot of St Johnstone players who have done very, very well. He is experienced head. I think his presence makes St Johnstone play better, as collectively and individually.
Right, number 10 on my list. Now, this is going to be controversial, and you're going to fall out with me.
You're about to say Hakim Adolphin, aren't you?
I am, but I don't like this myself, right? And this is what I was saying earlier about Gogic. I'm maybe too harsh on guys who are just defensive midfielders and don't do as much kind of going forward in terms of setting up teammates or, you know, playing passes into the final third or, you know, that kind of thing. Getting on the ball a lot, you know, passing the ball a lot. But there's no doubt that he makes a massive impact on football games. You can maybe say as well that the fact that he has been moved around this season, and it's not a huge sample size because of that, maybe played against him in my mind as well when I was trying to, like, compare him to some of the other guys. Like, when I was trying to... I set out a top five, and then I had Craig and Gogic at the bottom. And then from 10 until 5, or 10 until 6... I had a Doherty higher originally, a Doyle Hayes higher originally than where they've finally ended up. And kind of eventually the kind of thing I landed on in trying to make up my mind was that a few of these other guys, we've seen them do it before for longer, and that just, with it just being so hard to separate them, that just counted a little bit more for me. And also as well, like with a Dauphin, the fact that he doesn't do much on the attacking end took away from me as well. But it's undoubtedly that he is just somebody who just, I mean, fucks shit up in the midfield. I mean, brilliant at like winning fouls, brilliant at winning fouls, but doesn't give away too many fouls himself, which for a destroyer is very impressive, it has to say. But excellent at interceptions, excellent at winning the ball back for his team, just battles hard, gets into so many defensive duels, goes after so many loose balls, you know, gets that, as we talked about with Gogic, builds that foundation for in which Hamilton can attack. Not quite the same, but still, it doesn't matter what kind of level you are in the league, you still need players like that to help you. And there's no doubt he's been huge for them this season. Another reason as well that he's maybe down at 10th is that he does play for the worst team in the league.
That's true. I'll save my Dauphin love for higher up.
Before we get to number two.
There's a funny story about that, so we'll see.
Right. Okay, so who's your number 10?
My number 10 is Ross McCrory.
I did not have him at all.
So he was the one I was whether putting on. He... land, because that again, when I was talking about Liam Craig, I was kind of tempted to push Craig above him. I can see why you don't have him, because he's kind of been moved around this season, and he's really only had one kind of burst of kind of game time where he's looked really good. I just really, really like watching him. I think when Aberdeen played at their best, it was because McCrory was in there. And I mean, it wasn't solely because McCrory was in there, it was because McInnes was able to pick a competent 11, which balanced, kind of had an equilibrium about it. McCrory, I think, when that was the case, was arguably their best player. I say arguably, because obviously you'd Wright and Hedges, when they combined, are really, really good. McCrory, I just like his all action style, his ability to pass the ball, his ability to carry the ball from A to B, his ability to break up plays, ability to just get in the road. Kind of looking forward, it's you're kind of concerned whether he's actually going to continue, or he's going to be a centre midfielder under Glass, because you look at the, they brought in Scott Brown, they've got Lewis Ferguson, he's played Dean Campbell a bit more, refined his role a bit more.
And the style of football he's talking about playing as well. You wouldn't think that midfield three of McCrory, Ferguson and Brown would be conducive to that.
No. So, which is same. So I think this is probably going to be his one and only appearance on on the centre midfielder list. But I felt, I completely understand why some fans would be thinking, why you've got him and not X, Y and Z, who I might mention later on. Go totally understand that, but I just really, really enjoyed his spell where he was just kind of almost dominant in that set of Aberdeen's play.
It was excellent in that time, and had he played like he did from August to November, late November, then yeah, I mean, he definitely would have been on the list, probably would have been quite high up on it, but similar to the way I left off Tommy Hoban on my top 12 centre-backs. Just don't think he's had a very good 2021. And because of the fact that we've not seen him a whole lot in his career, it's just, there's not enough for me to go into to put him in at my 12.
Yeah, so there's one player who I think you'll have, I don't have, but who I'm a massive fan of, that's probably will feel hard done by not being on the list, and McCrory is on the list.
Right, next up is a player I originally had at number 6, but I dropped to 9, basically because of what I said earlier. The other guys just had too much more Scottish football credit for me for this player to go ahead of them, which is Jake Doyle-Hayes.
Okay.
So I originally had him number 6 because, God, fuck, this guy can do just about everything. He's great at making himself he does a good thing of a defensive midfielder, and that he's not just somebody who's there to break up play, something what he does pretty well. He's decent for interceptions, he's good at winning the ball back for his team. Very good at winning the ball back, in fact. So he does the job on defensive midfielder. He doesn't look like one because he's quite a slight and small player and you'd think he'd be easily bullied. But I think he's quite tenacious. But also he's good at being the guy who gets attacks going as well. Like somebody who demands the ball from teammates, moves the ball around the pitch, gives it to the players further forward to let them do their stuff. Somebody who can pass the ball. He passes the ball quite a lot. I think he's in the top 30 in the league for passes attempted. And for those who don't really know, when you're kind of looking at that stuff, most of the time, like half the list is basically like Rangers and Celtic players because they have the ball all the time. So for somebody in a bottom six team, a defensive midfielder on a bottom six team, to have that amount of passes is very impressive. And he passes the ball accurately as well. So not only is he high usage, he also does well when he's giving the ball to teammates. And he can run with the ball forward as well. He can manoeuvre around players occasionally. There's so much kind of strings to his bow. And at 21 years old, I can understand why he's not at first about signing a new contract to St Mirren, with all due respect to St Mirren, because you have to be thinking with the season he's had at this level and the age he is, that he could be looking at you know, signing a deal that would get him a lot more money. And he was in English football before. Like you, I'd love to see him stay, but I think if his agent will be handing around all these, you know, stats about him. They're just showing that he's like amongst elite level, the Scottish football level. And with his age, I can imagine that. I mean, I doubt, because it's St Mirren and they don't have as high a profile, I'd be surprised if a Championship team would come calling, but I'd certainly think that a good-sized League One club would be in for him and be willing to pay him, you know, three times as much as he earns at St Mirren.
That's a... Yeah, I was looking forward to hearing what you had to say about Jake Doyle Hayes. You've probably seen a lot more of his better games than I have. But would... Ask you this, is there... Have you found him to be inconsistent at times, or has he been a kind of a player for St Mirren who is almost Mr. Consistency?
Maybe a little bit of inconsistency, but it's kind of St Mirren have been a boo bit like that through a lot of this. I mean, well, they started off pretty consistent in terms of being rubbish, and then they were kind of very consistently good. And since then, they've kind of been a wee bit up and down. Maybe he's played a part in that, but St Mirren's kind of ascension. If you can, yeah, it was still an ascension because I mean they were bottom early in the season.
Yeah,
that kind of started with him coming into the team, and there was a while where they didn't lose for him in the side. I think there was one match that they lost where he missed it, and then there was another couple of games where he came back. They were undefeated again, and then eventually they lost because, well, it's St Mirren.
It was weird on the St Mirren when they had that, like when they went on that like really good run, and it was almost like it was a run that went under the radar, certainly for me. Hold my hands up and like I've probably didn't pay as much attention to as I should, but you look at how Goodwin has, as the season's gone on, tweaked his team and changed it. And again, Jake Doyle Hayes is, like I said, is key to that, because you look at the team last season, it was basically Sam Foley was key to that. He was almost he was basically just not shown the door, but kind of edged out if they wanted a bit more energy, but a bit more youth. And Jake Doyle Hayes brought that. They signed the boy, was it Sheeran or Sheeran? And mind watching him, and is it Nathan? Mind watching him for one of our scout things. And he was another kind of experienced-ish midfielder, but he lacked mobility. So then
he was rubbish.
Yeah, and you could see that when he got into the Premiership, he couldn't influence games the way that obviously Goodwin intended to. And again, they went with a more vibrant and interesting, exciting style.
Who's your number nine then?
My number nine is Joe Newell.
Oh, I've got him higher.
Yes, so again, Joe Newell is in here because I think I watch him and I can see why Hibs fans really, really like him, because I don't know, there's types of players who, when they get in possession of the ball, it just looks like they're meant to be in possession of the ball. They just look so at ease. And Joe Newell is that. He is technically absolutely superb. Obviously helps with his left foot, his wonderful hair and his handsome looks. But he is a very, very good footballer who, I think, when you actually look just having a glance at Wyscout, he's not a player that you can really just look at and like the stats jump off the page. But it's more about just his. It's more about as when you watch as a fan, you watch regularly, you just see this player who directs games, who is key for the ball going through. And I think that's what Newell is. I think Porteous talked about it when we interviewed him, is that having that player in the midfield you can give the ball to and trust, and he always makes himself an option. That's something really stats can't really tell you much about, certainly the ones we have access to. And I think he's brought that kind of composure direction to Hibs. The only thing I would say is the thing I asked you about Doyle Hoy is times I've watched him, I thought his reputation has maybe been too high. It's too high from Hibs fans. I think they got maybe too excited about him. But yeah, I do think he's a lovely, lovely footballer. Lovely, lovely football player.
I'll wax lyrical about him later because I've got him quite a few places higher than you. So I'll go on to my number eight. And my number eight is another St Johnstone midfielder. It is Ali McCann.
I have got him, let's see.
First.
Okay, sorry?
You've got him first.
No, I've got him one place higher.
Just above a Dolphin.
I wish. If it was a top 12 of my favourite, then yes, it would be. But no, I've got him seventh.
Quite something a bit funny about Ali McCann in that Callum Davidson came in at the start of the season and was criticised for St Johnstone fans for kind of putting the stabilisers on McCann a little bit in terms of the fact that he was kind of sitting a bit more than he had been, not charging forward as much, not supporting the attack as much. That eventually was tweaked. He was kind of given the freedom to get off the leash again. That's the analogy I should have used, leash, not stabilisers. He was allowed off the leash a bit more, and his play certainly picked up since then. But the funny thing about him is that while he does contribute on the attacking end with his energy and stuff, he's not somebody who, you know, makes a lot of insightful passes. He doesn't score too many goals. He doesn't have too many shots. He doesn't set up too many chances for teammates. He doesn't run with the ball. He can run with the ball, but he maybe could do it a wee bit more, especially with the kind of energy he's got. And the things that really stand out about him are a lot of his kind of defensive qualities. See how tenacious he is. I think he's one of the highest players in the league for contested defensive duels. He loves to get stuck in. He's great at winning the ball back. I think you saw that perfect example of that was a recent game against Rangers in the Scottish Cup, where he was just excellent at continually breaking up possession and just smothering Rangers midfielders whenever they try to play the ball through. But he just doesn't seem to... He seems to suit it, kind of being able to go up and down rather than kind of sitting. Maybe it's just that his natural kind of energy brings out the best in him and brings out the best in those qualities rather than kind of having the game in front of him. He's somebody who probably thrives on the chaos. But the reason I didn't have him, well, to be fair, you've only got him one place higher, but the reason he's not like breaking the top six is just a wee bit more to go in that attacking end. But he's certainly shown the qualities that he can certainly develop into that player.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. I do think it's interesting to see how he develops as a midfielder, whether it's at St Johnstone next season. I don't think it will be. I think he might move on. To see whoever's like signs him where they see him, because I remember when he broke into the team, Tommy Wright talked about him as I think when he was when he played in academy football, he was more of a 10, or certainly more of an attacking 8. And he came in, and mind his debut, one of his first starts, he played as a 6. Yeah, he played as a 6 at Hibs, at Easter Road. And he was very, very good. Spread the play really well, supported the play really well. And I just worry about McCann is that he's good at a lot of things, and whether he'll be able to be played consistently in a midfield role, which will allow him to really, how do you put this, really refine and particular skills or facets of his play which make him become even better in that role and one of the like the best in that role, rather than being kind of jack of all trades midfielder. And I think that's what it's great to watch him at the moment. I think he signed called it perfectly there when he says he embraces the chaos, and he's really good at as a chaotic midfielder. I just would like to see his numbers in terms of his productivity in the final third be a bit better, yes, but then you would be looking at him as a potential attacking midfielder. So I just my concern from is that he just straddles different midfield roles. But again, I adore him. I think he's a cracking wee player.
Right, so he's your number seven. Who's your number eight?
Lewis Ferguson.
Ah, I've got him number seven, so this works it perfectly.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Ferguson, I had to be in there again. He has... It's not had a spectacular season.
No.
Wanted more from him, to be honest. I think he had, again, like McCrory, he had a purple patch when he was coming up with big goals. I remember talking him up as being providing... What are those moments in basketball or American sports that...
Oh, here we go.
What are they called? Where they come up trumps in big moments or...
Come up with the clutch. Clutch, baby.
Clutch moments. There we go. And getting lambasted for using that term. And he did. He was that type of player for Aberdeen, certainly early in the season. I'm not sure since he's moved to Pittodrie, I don't think he's put like a... He's had a really consistent campaign. He's always seems to go from kind of peaks, maybe not quite troughs, but peaks back to the middle, and not quite all the way down. And
medium peaks and lesser peaks.
Yeah, I would like him to be more consistent, because I look at Ali McCann, and I do think he is. He's a lot more consistent than Ferguson. You know what you're going to get from him on a more regular basis. Whereas Ferguson, when he's on his game, again, we've seen he's got so much talent. So much talent that, again, he's someone who have been slightly disappointed. He should be, for me, challenging the person who I've got in like fifth or sixth.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think Ferguson should be challenging for a top five place, and I didn't really consider him for a top five place because he's not had a particularly great campaign. To be fair, by standards he set himself, the reason I've got him higher than McCann, consistency is maybe a fair point, and McCann's certainly probably been more consistent this season, but then again, he did have that poor patch, so he's not going up and down. He had a poor patch, and then he's been good. Ferguson's maybe been more up and down. So maybe it's evened out over the piece. But Ferguson just adds that little bit more, I think, as an attacking player. He's certainly better at taking the ball. Like I said, McCann should do this more often, but Ferguson certainly does take the ball more from A to B. He's, in terms of what they call progressive runs, which I think is kind of generally defined as taking the ball like 30 yards up the park, by yourself. Ferguson does that more than any player outside of the Old Firm. For any like central midfielder that I looked at for this, which was about 25 players.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that is something I should have said about Ferguson. That's something I really like in a midfield player, especially when we're talking about the type of midfielders we have on this list.
Another thing I like about him as well is he always makes himself kind of available for a pass, even though you don't kind of see him as that type of player. Somebody who plays with a lot of confidence, and also as well, similar to McCann, somebody who's very tenacious as well. Leads the league, I'm pretty sure, in fouls that he's won, and I think he's also like top three in fouls given away. So he likes the battling side of the game.
Yes, he does. He's great. He gets in the mix of the shit. He's like a pig in shit. He loves it. Just laps up. And the thing is, though, he's like, on either side, he gets angry. When he gets fouled, he's angry at the referee because he's been fouled. And when he fouls, he's angry at the referee because the referee's given a foul against him. And I do like that. I do like the player just constantly angry, no matter what the situation.
He's very much like his uncle, permanently torn-faced puss.
Yes.
Right, my number six is Jackson Irvine of Hibs. So
okay, I've got him slightly higher.
It's like that, right? Irvine is... It's just basically how much that I've liked this other player that's ahead of him, which should be fairly apparent if you've been listening so far, who it is. But Irvine's been great since he got at Hibs. There was a real feeling of trepidation, mainly amongst Tony, but I saw other Hibs fans kind of complaining about it as well. A feeling that they were signing a player on a short-term deal just to get him fit and then he was going to piss off. But even Jackson Irvine, not even fit, is still a very good player. And that's why I should maybe have him higher. It's just that from judging the kind of, like, he's only been here since January, from judging him against this other player, I still kind of rate this other player a little bit higher and what he's done. Okay, the other player's Jonio. Rating Jonio just a little bit higher in terms of it, what he's kind of bringing to this Hibs team and what they've been like in the teams together. And Irvine's been excellent. Well, I think he's also had some kind of poor games. We'll talk about inconsistently. I think he has been inconsistent at times, Jackson Irvine, for Hibs. I think that's to do with his lack of fitness and the fact that he's joined the team mid-season. That's not, and we've seen him in Scottish football before, know how good a player he is, so maybe I should have him higher. But I was maybe kind of swayed by the recent game. You can't help but even like looking at all these, reading what fans say, looking at all the stats, can't help but be swayed a little bit by what I saw in the flesh. And the last game I saw was Hibs against Motherwell, and Irvine was pish. In my opinion, he was one of the worst players in the park. One of the worst games I've seen him have since he was a killing player. But he's obviously been good for Hibs. He takes a lot of chances, Irvine, and I think you need that. And I think he fits very well in that Hibs. That Hibs midfield three, the balance of it is incredible because you've got Gogic, the guy who just cares about doing the defensive jobs and can just give the ball to the other. Great at winning the ball back for opponents, giving it to the other guys. Newell can do a wee bit of that defensive work. Not great at it, but can do a little bit. But mainly, he's somebody who will control the game from kind of, can do it from deeper areas, but can also do it more advanced, can take the ball forward, can create opportunities for his teammates. Is brilliant at passing the ball, demands the ball all the time. And you've got somebody like Irvine, who is kind of the more advanced of them, somebody who he's tried the most amount of through balls per 90 minutes in the league. And I think his accuracy for them is something like second. It's one way about. It's either like he's first for one and second for the other. I can't remember which is which. But that means that he also gives the ball away an awful lot. Of the kind of players I looked at, I think he gave the ball away the most. But that means that he's trying things in the final third, and that's kind of what you want him to do. And yeah, he's obviously great at charging up and down the park as well, and it's always good to see him like a thoroughbred in full flight. The horse is going full flight?
Full...
stride?
Yeah, right. I think full flight. I think you can get away with that.
Okay.
Yeah, the stat that stood out for me with Irvine was he's one of the most frequent for key passes. I think it's 0.71 per 90 minutes. Basically, key passes are meant to be chances created. And I mean, as well, I've got Irvine fifth, so I'll talk about him just now. That when I'll kind of go back a bit, when Hibs signed him, I was raging because I really like him. I think he's a great player. He seems like a cool guy. I know he's playing for Hibs, but you can still really appreciate just how much of a class act he is. And it was like a wee bit like Doherty last season when he signed for Hibs midway through the campaign, and that there was kind of aspects of his game that I probably didn't appreciate as much when he was at Kelly, and he improved at Kelly and then went to Ross County. He was excellent at Ross County. As his willingness to play, like you said, the through ball, his willingness to take chances, his creativity in the final third. What I loved about Jackson Irvine was his another player who can embrace the chaos. He can just pick up on second balls, drive the ball forward. He's the type of player that grabs the game by the scruff of the neck. But then his technical qualities really stood out for me at Hibs. And you look at Scott Allen coming back. Imagine Scott Allen and Jackson Irvine in the same midfield, just playing through balls constantly. Because you actually look at this, see if they sold Boyle and played a 4-4-2 diamond. That diamond would have quite a bit of balance in it.
Then you want Boyle, sell him this bit in Dodge. Or keep Dodge the backup.
You want Boyle to run on the front of the through balls.
Yeah, just play like a Ranger style, like almost like Christmas tree with two number 10s. Just have them playing through balls constantly.
There we go.
The only the only thing the opposition could do is not attack all game and hope it finishes 0-0.
So you have Boyle in attack, Irvine and Allen behind him. So you've got Gogic and Newell. Does that mean we'll just bring Stevie Mallon back into it just for the long range shoot?
just for a laugh. Nah, they're probably better with Scott Martin back for that team.
True. But no, Jackson Irvine, I just think he is a fabulous player. Walked past him the other day in Edinburgh and he's a big laddie, but he's just a big big tree. He does not like a... He's not got like a lot of what you call just like sheer muscle, but he just seems a very cool guy and a very cool football player who, yeah, I understand that probably Newell's been a bit more, definitely been more influential across the season, but in terms of talent, Irvine all day for me.
I think that's why I'm always kind of regretting my Irvine behind Newell one now, because I'm kind of looking back at my notes now. Newell is a wee bit worse for some of the defensive aspects of the game than I kind of had remembered. So yeah, maybe I should have had him just behind. But it's just the fact that I think I was kind of swayed over by the fact he's a guy that kind of dictates games for the team that are in third place.
Yeah.
I was going to say undeniably the third best team this season. They're only like 3 points ahead of Aberdeen, and Aberdeen have been pitched, so I don't know how much credit I'm going to give them. Hibs are weird because they've just had so many impressive results, and there's been other times, especially at Easter Road, when they've just been like really average. It's weird. It's a weird Hibs team this season.
I am not saying anything.
It's usually weird.
Not saying anything until the Scottish Cup is done.
Well, yeah, that's another one. You've got two Hibs, spectacular Hibs in it, and they still might win the Scottish Cup. This is a very weird season.
Yes.
Right, we're in the top four now.
No, you've not got my number six.
Oh, do I not? Right, sorry.
Which is Hakeem Adofin.
Oh, yeah, of course, right, sorry. I was getting a bit concerned there that we're going to have another fuck-up. right, okay, now it makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, Hakeem Adofin, just because you I think Irvine was your number six and he was my number five. So
my five was Neil. Yeah, we've kind of fucked around with this order a wee bit. Yeah.
So Dauphin, genuinely, half an hour before we recorded this, Hakeem Adofin was sitting at number one for me. And then I thought, Joe, don't be so fucking stupid. And I switched it and put him in a place where he is realistic.
Right, well, he might be number six in your chart. He might be number 10 in mine, but he's number one in our hearts.
Oh, absolutely. That's a reason he was... put up number one. He's been probably my favourite player this season. I just really enjoyed watching him. And I can understand why you had him so low, but I think you have to take into account just what Scottish football is about, especially midfield battles, and especially for Hamilton, and especially down at the bottom. And Hakeem Adofin is probably the reason that they're still in there with a chance. You can obviously say Callahan's goals, etc., but Adofin, his move to centre midfield has really helped him. He's just constantly putting out fires, and there's a shitload of fires in the Hamilton team, which he's having to deal with. He just, when you watch him, he just transfixes you because he's everywhere. My favourite individual performance, I think it was at Motherwell when Hamilton scudded him, and he was doing his like Zidane turns and his back heels, and he was doing everything that day. And on his day, I think he has that capability of being a bit more progressive, going from midfield into the final third. But defensively, he's just great. He just gets in the road. He wins second balls. He blocks shots. He intercepts. He tackles. He headers. He does all the nitty gritty what you need in Scottish Premiership.
One thing he was good at, in a sense of not necessarily like not something that's off the ball, is that he's quite good under pressure. He's quite good at moving around. If he gets caught in a tight space, he can beat somebody. That kind of goes back to his kind of time playing for Hamilton, playing for Livingston, and he's done it, I'm thinking, at Hamilton a couple of times this season, when he was like a right back, and that's what kind of he was seen when Aki's first signed him. But and then he played centre half, and he was good at centre half at the start of the season. He still thought he was maybe a wee bit rash and would maybe a little too happily leave his position and leave gaps at the back in order to attack the ball. And obviously that's part of his style, but obviously that style is much better suited to the centre of the park, where you can attack the ball without leaving a huge hole that the other, you know, team's centre forward can just drive through and score. Right, so we're into the top four now. Have you done the same as me? Have you got a Celtic player and then three Rangers players?
Yes.
Right. Number four, Callum McGregor.
I've split them. I've put Callum McGregor as my number three.
Okay, right. I've got my number four is Callum McGregor. So who have you got at three?
Ryan Jack.
Oh wow! Right. Okay. I'm going to shock you now. I've got Ryan Jack at number one.
You know what? I don't mind that at all. I've split the three Rangers. I've split the three free Rangers midfielders just because Callum McGregor, who I think he's had a disappointing season. I've been really, really disappointed. I mean, I'm taking it really personally. Like, I've been really disappointed with you, Callum. You've let me down big time. But no, I think he is someone other than Davis, who because of what Davis has done in Scottish football before, his previous as probably has saved him and kept him in the top three. And he's still, I think he's still really important to Celtic. When he plays well, Celtic play well. He does a lot of good things for Celtic. And he is another, if we got offered these players, I would pick him ahead of Ryan Jack. But you know what? I can completely understand why you had Ryan Jack number one. And my dilemma was such that I went to a Rangers fan with my three Rangers players and said, this is how I've separated them. Would you agree? And I got the backing for it. So Ryan Jack is number four. For me, so Ryan Jack has done a hell of a lot better for Rangers than I ever thought he was going to do.
Yes.
When he came from Aberdeen. And the fact that Steven Gerrard has spoke so positively about him, means a hell of a lot. He's coming to Scotland, and he's actually, one thing that was kind of weighing on my mind was because he has been so influential for Scotland, whereas Callum McGregor has continued to be shit for Scotland, to want of a better word. But again, it's about the Premiership. And Ryan Jack, I just think, when you look at his stats are incredible, just in terms of everything he does and putting the ball into the final third, progressive passes, deep completions, all these stuff. He progresses the ball so well. He passes the ball so accurately. He reads the game so well. He's such a smart player. But I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just because it's Ryan Jack and that there's not a sexiness about him and that he's dropped down the list for me. But I can completely understand why you have him higher up than me.
I think he certainly had a better season. I'd definitely have him higher than McGregor. I can understand why you've got the two other Rangers players ahead of him, because I think the two other Rangers players have had better seasons than him. But just as a kind of overall thing, if you were picking me which one of them I'd want for a team in Scotland tomorrow, and I'll clarify that a bit more when we come to another player, then I would pick Ryan Jack out of a lot of them. And I think the reason he's not had as good a season as well is I think his season, unlike Kamara and Davis, has not been interrupted by injuries as much. And I think that's kind of made it a bit more stop-start for him. And I don't think that's necessarily his fault, and therefore I'm deciding not to punish him for it. Yeah, his just... And also, as well, I think maybe just a little tweak to the Rangers team has meant that his kind of position in it has been that little bit less vital than it was maybe last season. But he's just like, his passing's excellent, not just in terms of being the guy who's like, because we always knew he was the player who would sit kind of the deepest in the midfield, ask for the ball, and then kind of, you know, be the guy who kind of sets the tempo, that deep line playmaker, sets the tempo is exactly the way to put that. But then he's got to Rangers, he's been asked to do a bit more kind of work as a number eight. And he's been brilliant at that as well. He's the kind of goals that he added to his game a little bit last season have kind of dried up a bit, and that can maybe go against him. But then there's not really anybody in this list that's any sort of regular goal scorer, especially this season, with McGregor having a poor campaign in terms of that. But he's passing to the final third, he's forward passing, which I think is the kind of key one, is excellent. He's very good as well at... Very good as well at kind of moving with the ball. He can move around opponents, and also he's very good at winning the ball back as well. Something that I think he's better than both his teammates, and certainly better than Glenn Kamara. He's a better defensive player than Glenn Kamara. I think with the, for me, the kind of big thing was between him and Davis. So I wouldn't argue with Davis at number one, but I would argue Kamara. Let's see what we get when we get to them. We're just basically talking about all of them at once now. So McGregor and, right, so you've got McGregor. Sorry, I've got McGregor. You've got Jack at four. And it's, so, yeah. So you've got Jack at four, McGregor at three. I have the other way around. So who's your number two?
Wait, my number two is Glenn Kamara.
Right, yeah. So yeah, I'm happy enough with that. That you don't have. Well, I would have Jack above Kamara. But I mean, Kamara to me stands out the most on the European stage, where his incredible poise on the football really comes to the fore and helps Rangers play against these teams and compete against these teams like Benfica, like Porto, was it last year? Where they just
Porto last year, yeah.
Where they just should have no business, like dictating as much of the play and like going at the opposition and controlling the ball as much as they do. And he's a huge reason for that. I think sometimes in Scottish football, his impact is a little bit more blunted because he's got better at this. You just said this earlier in the season when we were talking about him on the TV show. He's definitely got better at getting forward a lot more this year. You can just see it. Like, you don't even have to look at stats or whatever in terms of touches in the box. You just see it when you watch games. He's involved a lot more in the final third than he used to be. Mm. And that's obviously been encouraged out of him with Gerrard and his staff. But I just reckon there's a lot of games in Scottish football where his ability to get the ball in tight areas and to find a teammate just isn't as required as the skills of Davis. Davis sitting as the quarterback in front of the back four, just dictating everything. And Jack to me just suits the Scottish game a bit more.
Yeah, agree with that to an extent. I think Kamara's gone up another level this season with his wee bit more consistency. His pass, he's probably been a bit more progressive, a bit more confident with his passing. He's wanting to be more influential. That's probably the best way to talk about it. He's been more influential and. Out of the three, I think he's got the highest ceiling. I mean, he's the youngest. He's the youngest, and there's still a lot more to come from him. He's a player that, of the three Rangers players, if I was asked which player I'd like to watch, he is the player I want to watch. He's just such a fun player that I think he can. Yeah, he's not a gritty defensive player, but I think he is. He's improved in terms of his pressing, which is key for Rangers. But his ability to get the ball from A to B is so good. He can dribble with the ball. He can take it in tight areas. He's got real confidence in his ability, and he is finally starting to add a bit more attacking threat to him. Not necessarily in terms of goals and assists, but just getting the ball into better attacking areas.
Cool. So. We should probably just finish. We've kind of covered them all, haven't we? So we just finished talking about Davis, really.
It's just so good. Just so, so consistent. It's just someone who never seems like he's breaking. He's like, he breaks a sweat. It just, everything seems so easy. So easy for him. I mean, one thing I really do like about him is his longer passing. Is longer passing, his ability to drop the ball in behind defenders or just get out to the wings. And he's got a really good success rate, nearly over 60% with those longer passes. He gets the ball into final play. And he's actually quite good at running with the ball as well. I think he's really, obviously he's not the most dynamic, he's not the quickest, but I think he's really intelligent with the way he carries the ball. His balance is excellent. And he just, he's just a proper football player.
I think it says just about anything you need to know about Stephen Davis's consistency and how just about every single game he's kind of set the table for that Rangers team. That you've got a right back who scored 18 goals, you've got a goalkeeper in Al McGregor who in himself a very good story, the fact that he's turning 40 soon and he is on an undefeated team and conceded 13 goals all season on with another player in front of him and Connor Goldson, who's on a team who's conceded 30 goals all season as a centre-back.
And played just about every minute.
Yeah, and played just about every minute, and yet I actually think the player of the year might be Stephen Davis. Like, I think that just says everything.
Yeah, I mean, he just, at his age, he is, the amount of caps he's still playing, like, well, he's not, I don't think he's retired yet. Is he still playing international football? Or he certainly broke records with, I think, with Northern Ireland.
I think he's still playing.
He's still playing, and he still does it on, no matter the stage, he's there, and he's just a player who is hugely reliable. He can't fault his experience. He's, when you talk about like Rangers' transformation under Gerrard, him and McGregor have been key because they've been there and done it. They understand what is required at that level, at that intensity at Ibrox. A lot of the players there they're playing with don't. And I think they've been, it's key for them to kind of drum in. Just he's just a good player. Just a very, very good player.
Right, so I've come up with a list here. See if you agree with this. We can argue about it. I've still got one rock, paper, scissors to do later on, though. So
okay,
tradition is tradition. So number 12. So we didn't have an awful lot of variance. We should probably mention some of the guys who left off this list. Alan Campbell.
Yes, like you, I contacted Graham Phillips because I needed a second opinion, needed a Motherwell opinion. So I don't do that. I don't do that often. So basically, I got in touch with a Rangers fan just because it was so hard to separate the three. Whereas, in terms of actually putting folk in 12 and in top 12, don't really usually contact. But it was difficult because Campbell is someone that we like, I really like at the podcast, and I just think he has been, despite what he's done previously, I just think he's been too inconsistent this season to merit a place.
Excellent start to the season in August and September. I think he started on the subs bench, weirdly enough, and then he came at the team. It was really good. Since about October time, I think he's had a pretty poor season. I think there's reasons for that. I think mainly it's the fact that he knows he's away this summer, and that's maybe playing on his mind, or at least kind of doing something to make sure he's not playing at his best. But it's just, he's been disappointing in a lot of ways. Like, if you think of the player, like when he first burst into the Millwall team, the guy who was like, just like piling himself in every and all action. And it's just so many games this season where he's just been like, meh. And that's something I don't think I'd say about Alan Campbell, which again, maybe goes to the fact that he's a little bit distracted. But he didn't play well enough. He didn't play well enough for me. Had he been included in my top 12, it would have been on legacy only. And I've done it with other positions, but in terms of the competition for these midfielder spots, I couldn't really do it in good conscience. I thought about Jason Holt, who I think's had a really good season for Livingston. Somebody kind of does similar to the kind of players I had a wee bit further up. Somebody who can do a little bit. He's decent with the possession. He's somebody who's always been very kind of played with a lot of composure on the football. But since this kind of latter part of his career, as he's kind of gone to being more of a sitting player, he's become a lot more kind of, he's kind of embraced the battling game more. Somebody kind of similar to Jake Dalhuis in that he's slight, but he doesn't mind getting stuck in. And I think he's probably been Livingston's best centre midfielder this season, ahead of Marvin Bartley and Craig Sybold. And the last guy I considered, very much considered, he was very close to making it, and I think I just went over Gogic in the end, was Jando Fuchs at Dundee United. Somebody who does, again, similar kind of things for number 8, up and down player. When I say up and down, I mean in terms of all action. The reason I just had Gogic over him is that Fuchs gives away a lot of fouls, gives away the ball an awful lot cheaply as well, which can kind of put you into trouble a bit. And I don't know, it's just hard to reward the Dundee United team this season.
Yeah, I found this all when I was going through the different teams and putting all the players I think worthy of mention, Fuchs is the only one that really considered from United, and he's probably just didn't have enough, perhaps didn't have enough. Oh, great, just seen the dog be sick, but that's brilliant. he probably just didn't have enough. What's the kind of phrase I'm looking for? Kind of enough game time to compare to others. The other one was Aaron Tshibola, who
He's fallen out of it a bit.
Yeah, exactly. That's the reason. That's the reason I didn't bother, because he'd basically fallen out of favour.
On a team that's not, and also the other guys there, like Dicker and Power, mainstays of this team in this list in the past, just passed it really, aren't they?
Yeah, that's it.
Right, okay, let's see if I can get this definitive number 12 before you go clear up dog sick. Right, 12, so I've patched McCrory. You all right with that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Number 12, we've got Alex Gogic. So number 11 is Liam Craig. Number 10 is Jake Doyle Hayes. Number 9, Ali McCann. Number 8, Lewis Ferguson. Number 7, Hakeem Adolphin. Number 6, Joan Gill. Number 5, Jackson Irvine. Number 4, Callum McGregor. Number 3, it's either Ryan Jack or Glenn Kamara. Number 2 is either Ryan Jack or Glenn Kamara. So let's get that rock, paper, scissors. I'm Jack, you're Kamara. Right, on 3. Right, 1, 2, 3. Yes, I get it this time. Kamara is number 3. I had paper beats your rock. Kamara is number 3, and Ryan Jack is number 2, and Stephen Davis is number 1. Happy enough with that?
Yes, I am. Good list. I enjoyed that.
Yes. And I hope you enjoyed it as well if you're listening. Be sure to check out the Patreon, the £2 one that will usually goes along with this podcast will be Tony and Tom previewing the Scottish Cup semi-final. So you want to listen to that, especially since Tony's recommendation on a bet builder for the League Cup final the last time he'd done this with Craig Anderson came in. So if you're a betting person, then it's quite good to listen to Tony's a jammy fuck when it comes to that kind of stuff. Or he knows what he's talking about. I'd rather just call him a jammy fuck, though. You can check that out at Terrace Podcast. No, that's not it. You can check that out at patreon.com/Terrace Podcast. Joel, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And I'm Craig Feller saying goodbye. Cheers.
Sports Social Podcast Network.